states there are over 100,000 people on waiting lists for organ donations. And for some, time can simply run out. And kidneys are among the organs with the greatest demand and the greatest transplant success, with living donor transplants essential to this success. Here with more on this is Ellen Havens, a registered nurse and certified clinical transplant coordinator on the Kidney Transplant Service at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Ellen. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for inviting me.
So nationwide, kidneys are in very high demand. Tell us about that. Why are they in more demand, perhaps, than other organs?
There are many people who are suffering from different medical diseases that affect kidneys, diabetes, hypertension, various diseases, polycystic kidney disease, various autoimmune diseases that affect kidneys.
And has that been growing over the years? In other words, has the demand increased? And if so, why?
More people are suffering from diabetes, especially, and hypertension.
So with the obesity potential, the obesity increase in this country, and therefore often diabetes going along with that, we're
exactly
seeing more demand, more kidney failure, and more demands for kidney transplants.
Yes, that is one of the biggest things that affects, that will affect people getting diabetes is obesity, yes.
How, at this point in central New York, how many people do you think roughly are on waiting lists for a kidney transplant?
Between Syracuse and Rochester, there's probably about a little bit more than 500.
Wow. So people are basically hanging around waiting. How does that affect their lives? I mean, in the opening I mentioned that for some people time can run out. I mean, what actually happens if people are waiting a very long time? How does it affect their health?
People can wait in our area about 4 to 7 years.
Wow.
Waiting for a deceased donor to come forward for a transplant.
And what happens? I mean, have we lost people along the way?
Yes. If they're on dialysis, we know that they don't live as long waiting for a kidney transplant if they're on dialysis.
So would you say this is almost verging on a dire situation?
It can be for those people.
Let me get a better handle on the kinds of donation that exists. Okay, we've been talking living donor. Explain first, what is a living donor transplant?
Living donor transplant can be from someone who's a family member, a friend, or an acquaintance. A deceased donor transplant, of course, comes from someone who can be from a brain-dead donor. Can be from a donor who, after cardiac death, they call donation after cardiac death.
Explain those two. So, and how does that come about? In other words, is it something someone would have had to indicate their willingness to give an organ prior to an accident or aging or what have you? How does it come about that you do after death transplant?
The best thing to do is for someone to tell their family member that they want to be a donor. And, of course, when you go to the DMV nowadays or at the state fair, the best thing to do is to sign your organ donor card.
And people can determine what organs they want to donate,
yes,
for example.
Yes, you can say. But the best thing to do is at the DMV is to sign when you're there doing whatever. Or you can go. There's so many places now you can do it. You can do it online. You can do it through your Facebook account.
Wow.
And say that you want to be an organ donor.
And basically, how popular is this now? I mean, I understand that you're having difficulty procuring kidneys at this point, or really organs in general, but kidneys in particular are in high demand. What seem to be the stumbling blocks in terms of getting these organs?
Unfortunately, in New York State, we are one of the lower states in having people signed up to be organ donors, and it has to do with the difficulty, the difficulty in being able to do it. In other words, there's stumbling blocks that the state puts in place? Yes, basically.
So there are legal requirements?
Yes. You sign up, but then they have to send you some forms to fill out, and then you have to send them back. It's not electronic. And so if you have to do some extra steps in order to sign up, you know how it is. That form sits on your counter and might not ever get sent back in.
So it gets put to the bottom of the list very often. Yeah. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Kidney Transplant Coordinator Ellen Havens. We're talking about kidney transplants, the need for them, and at this point, the lack of kidneys. Just help us understand the two types that you mentioned after death have to do with brain death or cardiac death. Can you just quickly explain the difference between those two? I mean, how do they determine somebody is brain dead, for example?
Yes. So someone someone is in an accident and they have a catastrophic injury, and there are brain death criteria, and two physicians will declare someone brain dead. Various tests are done, and if they're brain dead, there are no signs of life, and those patients are declared brain dead.
And in that case, if someone hasn't themselves offered to give a donation of their organs, does their family have the right at that point to decide, yes, let's say it's a teenage kid who had a motorcycle accident or something of that nature, do they have the right to then offer that child's or that person's organs?
Yes, the
legally.
Family. Yes, and that's why it's important to make sure your family's aware of your wishes.
And how about in terms of cardiac death as well?
In cardiac death, there's a set of
criteria.
Yes, there's a criteria that they follow that they try to predict. And there's a time frame. So they will take that patient to the operating room, and they will remove the life support. And if that patient goes on to death within 60 minutes, then that patient can then donate their organs. If that patient does not go on to death within that time frame, then that patient then goes back to the care that they were receiving prior to that. And usually that patient then just goes on to, you know, this comfort care until they pass.
So it sounds to me like the problem here is, in part, both that people are not necessarily coming forward to offer organs, either while they're alive, in terms of a kidney, a living donation, or in terms of this idea of donating your organs after death in some way. And I guess the question I have is, are there myths or things that get in the way, besides the paperwork part of it, are there other things that people believe that might limit their desire or willingness to do this? I mean, I would think in some cases it might be a religious consideration. Some people may not feel that their religion allows them to do this.
Yeah, it's partly, sometimes it can be cultural. Sometimes people just think, well, I'm older. There's things that maybe wrong, they think that's wrong with them, that they don't qualify. And really it's the health professionals that are from the organ procurement organization that really understand about who qualifies, that they need to be the ones that make those decisions. And
so if
you'd be surprised who qualifies, you know.
Let's talk a little bit then about the whole idea of living organ donation. Tell us what that is again. How is it? Does it work? I mean, obviously, if you give up a kidney, you still can live a normal lifespan. Is that correct?
That's true.
So
that's
tell
true.
Us about that. How does one make that determination if they think they might want to give a kidney?
So we have our nephrologists say in general, you have to be more than perfectly healthy to give a kidney. And that's generally true. We put them through a very rigorous medical evaluation. It includes a medical evaluation, a psychosocial evaluation. We want to make sure that we have identified any risk factors that we would worry about them should they, as they age, anything that we would worry that would affect them if they would only have one kidney as they age.
So your focus at that point is really on the health of the donor.
Absolutely.
Rather than the health of the kidney you're taking.
Absolutely. So we have a complete medical team, including a social worker, a nephrologist, a lab personnel, the nurse, and the surgeon, who only concentrates on the donor, completely separate from the medical team, the social work team that concentrates on the recipient.
Tell me something about the guidelines of who can donate then. Are there age requirements? Obviously, there wouldn't be a gender issue. What are some of the guidelines?
So they have to be greater than 18 years of age. We really don't have a cutoff for age at the upper end of the scale. We have had a donor who was 70 years old.
Really?
Who was a farmer. Who was...
A living donor.
Living donor.
Wow.
He was a farmer. He had only one arm from a farming accident. He climbed the silo 2 or 3 times a week.
My goodness.
And so we thought, well, he's 70, you know. But, hey, when he came through and he showed us what he did on a weekly basis, we threw our arms up and said, hey, he's showing us that he's in great shape. And he actually did very well and had his surgery and went home 2 days later and back to work and within about 2 or 3 weeks.
Wow. So you do have all these steps to clearance to make sure that the person themselves, the donor themselves, will continue to live healthily post-surgery.
Exactly.
How about in terms of this whole idea of a match? I mean, how complicated is that? Or obviously people don't just donate a kidney into space. I mean, generally when they're donating a kidney, there is a recipient in mind. Am I correct?
Yes.
So how does that process work?
They come forward for their, you know, their cousin, their friend, whoever. We look at their blood typing. We make sure that their blood matches. We look at antigens, which are markers in their blood. We don't care too much about the markers because we can do a successful living donation transplant even if the markers aren't specifically perfect matches.
So this whole idea of rejection, these days you have better ways of dealing with rejection.
The medications are very good, and we don't care too much about that because just by rights of being a living donor, the kidney will last longer, and the medications are the same whether the matches perfect or 0 out of 6 or 6 out of 6 would be perfect.
How safe is it, though, both for the donor and the recipient? How safe are these kidney transplants these days? How successful are they?
It's 98%. We have a success rate of about 98%, 98 to 100% safe.
Wonderful. Well, very interesting information, very important. We hope that more people will consider this idea of kidney donation or donation of their organs in general. I want to thank you for coming in. My guest has been Ellen Havens. She's a registered nurse and certified clinical transplant coordinator on the Kidney Transplant Service at Upstate Medical University.